Will you ride with me? I tell you what, his coming is so soon. It is sooner than we think. There are things going on in our government right now. There are things and signs and wonders in the heavenlies. And, you know, this is probably going to sound kind of dumb to you, but I'll just tell you. And that is that there are times when I get so earthbound, you know. I'm so focused on everything that's going on in the earth. You know, I'm so focused on the church. I'm so focused on family. I'm so focused on everyday life stuff that sometimes I forget where I'm heading. I'm just passing through this joint. I'm just passing through this earth. This is just a passing through place. I'm not putting out a welcome mat here. This is not my home. Heaven is my home. And so one day, I just started thinking about it. Just like that song was talking about. One day, I just started thinking about the fact that I'm going to be dressed in white. I'm going to have on a robe of righteousness. You are too. You're not. Hallelujah. There's going to come a day when the Bible says, "Now unto him who's able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before his glory with exceeding joy." And I remind the Lord all the time, "Lord, I thank you that there's come a day when you're going to present me faultless before your glory with exceeding joy." Do I deserve that? Good grief, no. But it's by the blood of Jesus. I'm covered in the blood. And because I'm covered in the blood, I look perfect to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's good for you to think about this every now and then. See yourself dressed in white. See yourself that one day you're going to be with the Lord. You're not going to be here always. This is a passing through place. And what we do, actually, we got to start doing quickly. Because he is coming. And if you've got family that's not saved and you know they're not saved, then I'm telling you, pray for them and talk to them every chance you get. Melinda was telling me just this morning that she talked to one of her family members and told him Jesus is coming. And you know what? They said, "I think I need to pray." And they got gloriously saved yesterday. And it's because she just told them. She just said, "This is how it is." And we need to tell them, Jesus is coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If you're, and this is what she pointed out to her this young woman. This young woman has a baby and another one on the way. And she said to her, you know, it's like, if you're not ready to go, you could be holding that baby or, you know, something to that effect. In other words, that baby could be gone. You could be holding a baby one second and it's gone right in front of you. You're going to be holding an empty blanket. Talking to somebody on the phone that is a Christian, and all of a sudden there's nobody there. You're talking to somebody on the internet, and they're not coming back. What would really be something would be in a funeral home beside the casket. Woo! Of a born-again Christian, and you look at them, and you're like, "Oh, you know, we're just really going to miss them." And you look away, and you look back. Where'd they go? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about it. Now, this is not my sermon, but it is on my mind. Think about it. Well, you've been there, let's just say 300,000 years. See, that just blows our mind because we're just trying to make it from day to day. And you've been there 300,000 years, and you think you say to yourself, for me, I wonder where Jim is. Boom, I'd be right there with him. That's how you don't have to walk. Oh yes, I love heaven. you're gonna think it, and you're gonna be there. It's gonna be a glorious place. But the best thing about heaven is Jesus is gonna be there. I'm telling you, what is it going to be like the first time that you are walking down the streets of gold or however it's going to work, and there in front of you stands the Son of God? What in the world are we going to do? Will we like the song? Are we going to start dancing? Are we going to start singing? Are we going to drop on our face? Pretty sure we're all going to drop on our face. Because you know what? this nobody has ever done for me like what he has done. That's why I call him hero. If you would get your Bibles, I'm not going to preach real long this morning, but I do have some things I want to share with you about how to be more than a conqueror. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, I have to start off by quoting, I heard Jesse DePlantis say, he cracks me up. He said, women are more than conquerors. He said, because a man could work all week, bring in a paycheck, and she's, you know, been home or whatever, and he brings home a paycheck, hands it to her, she's more than a conqueror. That's pretty good. Oh, my. But anyway, so Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And one way to be more than a conqueror is through more prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Too many times we will pray about the big things, but we'll try to take care of the little things ourselves. Is that right? The Bible says that we are to pray about everything. We're not to worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. And nothing means nothing. And so we try to take care of the big things, and we're just like, well, I'll take care of the little things, God, if you can take care of the big things. That's not how he thinks. We can pray about everything, big or small. The Bible says that we're supposed to cast all of our cares upon him. And you know, I've been doing this lately, and I've been seeing some amazing results of doing this. And what I do, and young people, this is for you too. This is for everybody here. You get overwhelmed by a situation. Something, just recently, last week, I had a scheduling situation. Somebody called me, can you do this? And you're like, sure, I can do that. And so you do these things, you know, you say, yes, but inside of you, you're like, in your mind, you don't want to disappoint somebody, so you're like, this is not going to work out. I don't know how this is going to work out. So I found myself kind of worrying about it, like, what am I going to do, you know? And when I found myself fretting and worrying, then immediately I turned around and I said, Lord, I cast this situation to you. I don't know what to do with it. So here, I just cast it to you. Please take care of it for me. And just a few days later, the whole thing changed around. The whole thing to where, you know, it worked for my schedule. Everything worked out great. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it was big. Trust me. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And I've shared this testimony about casting the care when I was in my parking lot, where I live at, and everybody was jumping in my spot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So everybody was jumping in my spot, and I'm like, So I thought, you know what? And I was getting frustrated, and I was playing almost kind of a game with this one neighbor who could get there first sort of thing. And I thought, this is not right. This is not pleasing to God. It is frustrating me. So I just cast my care. And I said, Lord, I cast this care. This parking lot thing is getting on my nerves. So I want you to take care of it for me, please and thank you. And that's it. You know, that's all. When you do that, then you got to leave it. And so just a few days later, I noticed everybody had moved over one. And I said to one of my neighbors, I said, what happened? And they said, we all moved over one. And I was amazed. Because I didn't go out there and say, y'all need to move over one. You know, that's how I felt like doing, but I didn't. But God had these people, probably heathens, move over one. And you might think, well, that's a small thing. It was a big deal to me, okay? When you're trying to run in and out of the rain, it's a big deal where you're parked at, right? So casting, if I can cast a little situation like my scheduling and a little situation like parking, do you think God can take a hold of some big situations? Can we cast the big cares on him? Now, the thing about casting your cares, though, is that once you cast it, Satan will try to come back at you and say, what are you going to do about that? Well, you know, that situation, what are you going to do about that? And that's when you say, I don't know, I cast my care. God's got it. Jesus has got that. You'll have to go talk to him because I've done cast that care. You know, I want to tell you something, in case you just didn't know it. I'm a very simple person. When you elected me to be pastor, you did not get a theologian. I'm a simple person. I take the word for what it is. I live it simply. And thank God I'm seeing results. So if you wanted somebody fancier than that, oh well, you didn't get it. Because I am just a simple person. And I believe that we can just take the Bible in a simple way and apply it to our lives and just do it. Just do it. Quit making life complicated. Quit making the Bible complicated. Right? All right. Another way to be more than a conqueror is to trust God and to lean on his promises. I love this. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. If you don't have this line in your Bible, then get yourself a yellow marker or pink, whatever, and mark this in your Bible. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. What does that mean? That means that all his promises that he has promised to us are yes and amen. If there's a promise in there for healing, which there is, where he says, he was wounded for your transgressions, he was bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed. If that's a promise, which it is, then we don't have to pray, God, please heal me if it would be your will. You just read where it was his will. His will is his word, and his word is his will. And he says, by his stripes you're healed. That means yes and amen. God, will you heal me? Yes and amen. God, will you supply all my needs? Yes and amen. God, will you save those heathen kids of mine? Yes and amen. God, will you help me on my job? Will you give me favor? Yes and amen. I tell you what, that right there is, we don't have to go to God and beg him for things he's already told you that you can have. What we need to learn to do is to receive them. I've used this example before. All right, Robert, come here. You know how this works. All right. Robert, I would really like to have a cell phone. A burgundy one. And I noticed you have one. Can I have it? Robert, can you please give it to me? Robert, please. I mean, I don't ask you for much. I don't ask for much, Lord. somehow, please give me a burgundy phone. Oh, Lord, if you'll just please give me a burgundy phone, I'll do better. I'll do better. Please give me a burgundy phone. What's he doing? He's handing it to me. What am I not doing? That's when you take it and you say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's just that simple. He says, I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory. And we go, please, there's a recession going on. Please, God. And all the time he's going, here, you need a bonus? Here, I got a bonus for you, here. And you're saying, God, I need healing. There's something in my body that's not right. And he's like, oh, okay, by my stripes, you're healed. Take it. And we're going, but the doctor said, right? We speak back to him what the doctor said, but he said, by my stripes, you're healed. And we want to remind him what the doctor said. Yes, thank God for doctors and nurses. I thank God for them. But he said, by his stripes, you are healed. Just this past week, last week, I think it was, some kind of knot rose up on my arm. And it was kind of throbbing, and it was red, and it was hot. And I think a spider bit me or something. I don't know. And, when I first looked at it, I'm like, what is that? And it was a knot in my arm. But you know what? And I give God the praise for this. Instead, I didn't even call anybody. And please don't understand, I'm not giving myself glory for this, because in myself, I would have been a mess. But because of what I've learned about God's word, I put my hand on it and I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I curse you at the root. I call you plucked up at the root. I call you cast into the sea, and you shall obey me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then the next day, it had gone down some, but it was still there. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you for that thing is cursed at the root. And I call it cast into the sea, and it shall obey me. Thank you, Jesus. And I go on my way. The next day, barely anything there. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And the next day, there's a teeny tiny little place there. Thank God. Hey, you know what? Act on the word. Take God. Receive from him. He says, I'll heal you. He says, I'll save your kids. Well, when do you believe for that to happen? After it's done or before? If you believe for it after it's done, anybody can do that. That's not faith. That's what Doubting Thomas said. Doubting Thomas said, I'll believe it when I see it. And Thomas and Jesus said to him, you know, blessed are those people who believe before they see it, sort of thing. Blessed are those that have never seen me and yet they believe. First Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. His word will not fail you. Now, we may fail the word, but his word will not fail. God says, I am not a man that I should lie. There's some people out there who lie to you as to look at you. They'll just make up lies. They lie just because they can. And so, but God is not a man that he has never lied, and he's not going to start with us, right? I've heard that there are some 30,000 promises in the Word of God, so that's enough. That's one for every day and then some. Now, this is something that I've been learning about lately more in a different kind of way, and that is coming to agreement with his word. Coming to agreement with his promises. How? By speaking them and by believing them. That's how we walk with God, is by agreeing with him and by speaking and believing his word. There was somebody else in the Bible that walked with God and was no more because God took him. Who was that? Enoch walked with God and was no more because God took him. He had his own little private rapture. So that tells me that it must be a powerful thing when we come into agreement with God's word and we walk with him, we agree with him, we talk with him, and that means we are walking with God. So what would be the opposite of walking with God? Not walking with him. By talking fear, by talking lack and defeat. We have spoken words far below the standard of his word. But you know, it's a real honor to walk with God, to agree with him by believing and speaking his word. So let's look at this in the natural. Parents, I want you to hear this for a minute. If you've got this kid, teenager, younger, it don't matter. You know what? What is it with little girls now that are like 7 years old going on 16? What is up with that? I mean, oh my goodness, they come strutting through there. I'm like, what the world? Honey, you need to go change them clothes. Anyway, I'll move on. And they talk to their parents like, I don't know. I don't care. You know, bam, bam. No. Oh, I'm amazed. But can I just meddle a minute? Can I just meddle for just a minute? A large part of it is the parents' fault. I don't know if I've shared this or not. I know I shared it with some. Had a young pastor's wife call me the other day. I mentor her, and she called and she says, I'm having trouble with my son. And she was trying to kind of make it a spiritual thing. And you know me, I'm bottom line. And I said, don't make it a spiritual thing. Just tell him what to do, and that's it, you know. Don't make it to such a big spiritual thing. Because what's happening is parents, what is up with this? I was at the playground with my little grandsons, and Luke was swinging in a swing, and there was a bigger swing there. It was like a molded swing it's for handicap, and it's a big swing, and this little girl was in it, beautiful little girls, and she was in it, and the mother was swinging the swing, and she says, now, may your sister have a turn? And the little girl was like, no. You know, of course she's going to say no. She's like 2-3 years old. And so, you know, so the mother waits patiently, and then she asks the little girl again, now may your sister have a turn? And the little girl goes, no. And I'm sitting there like, oh, Lord, give me grace. See, right about then, I'd been snatching one out and putting the other in. Like, I don't ask you. I tell you what to do. I'm the parent. So finally, you know, my teeth were on edge. I'm like, And I finally looked at her and I said, won't you put them both in there? And she goes, oh, I never thought about that. No kidding. Oh, I'm sorry. But when did we start giving the power to the little children? The little babies, when did you start asking a two-year-old if he wants to come in and quit playing? When did you ask a two-year-old if he wants to eat? I didn't do that growing up. When my kids were growing up, I said, you're going to eat this and eat it now. You're going to come in now. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And they're like, yes, 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 yes. And when did we start handing over power to the little children and saying, would you like to do this? Will you do this? Okay. All right, I'm done. All right. I told this young preacher's wife, I said, don't give away your power. If you ask, I'm not through meddling. So if you, mothers, what is up with this? I hear mothers say to the right in front of the children, to the husband, please do something with them because they're not listening to me. You just handed away your power. Because if Troy and Melody were here, they would tell you, I never said that to Jim. Are you kidding? I mean, I was just like, you're dead, what? And if they talked back to my husband, I was in their face like white on rice. Don't you be talking to your dad like that. Don't you be doing this. Don't you talk. Who you talking to? Did a dog walk through here? Must have, because you sure wouldn't be talking to me like that. All right, now I'm done. We've got to train up our children and quit doing all this. I know that Dr. Spock has you doing this kind of stuff, but the Bible says raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the way he should go is not for you being afraid of him. How'd I get on that? I don't even know. Move on. All right. So, I know what it was. So you have this kid. And everything you say to this kid, they disagree with you. They doubt your word, and they even say things in public that goes against you and your values. Do you want to bless that kid? Everything you say and do, they're like, I don't think so. No. Oh, no. No, no, no. Do you want to go to the store with me? No. Do you want to ride up here? No. Do you want to? No. And they don't do it nice. No. Okay. Then you hear them with their friends saying, my mom, she's so old-fashioned. You wouldn't even believe what she told me to do. You know, and so that kind of kid, do you just want to say, oh, hey, let's go to the spa and get you all done up? No, you're like, shh. No, no, you know what? You bear up with that kid, but you really just don't want to bless him, to be honest with you. Am I right? On the other hand, you have a child that, for the most part, they listen to you. I don't know if there's ever a kid out there that totally listens, obeys every little thing. But this kid, for the most part, does. And they hang around you. And they talk to you. I love it when kids do that. You know, when they talk to you and they're like, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, you know, what's up with this? You know, and this kind of, my grandkids do it to me all the time. Hey, my mom, you know. Can I tell you? I know, I'm going the wrong way here. But can I tell you what they did to me the other day? I'm just going to make it real quick. Did you see it on Facebook, what JoJo did? No, I didn't put it on Facebook. Okay, I'll just make it real quick. So, I'm always playing pranks on my grandsons. I mean, I would put a mask on with a snake coming out of the head and jump out at them. You know, I don't know. It's just who I am, you know. They'll be playing, and I'll sneak up behind them with an air horn. So they've been waiting. I didn't know, but they'd been evidently waiting to get me back. And so they were at my house on Friday, and I'm downstairs, and I'm in deep thought. And so I'm down in the basement, and I had left JoJo upstairs playing one of those crazy things, one of those video games, and he was really absorbed into it. And I thought, okay, he's good. David's good. I'm going to go down to the basement and do some wash. I'm down there by the washer and dryer. I'm waiting for it to kick off. And so I sat down in a chair, and all of a sudden, the lights on that main floor in the basement flickered, went off and on. And I thought, that's strange. I thought somebody would have to do that in order, maybe it was a fuse. And I'm thinking, and I'm a little creeped out. So I walked over to the light switch, where there's a stairwell right there, and I walked over to the light switch thinking, why is this light? What did he do that for? And I went to put my hand on the light switch, and Joseph jumped out of the light, the stairwell, goes, wah, you know. I'm like, ah! He got me. He got me. He really got me. And I'm like, well done, grasshopper. You've done well. So, you know, our kids, when your kids come to you and they want to talk to you, they want your opinion, they want to think, you know, they laugh with you, they talk to you. Do you want to bless those kids? Yes. You want to bless their socks off. And it's the same way with God. We need to hang around with him. Talk to him. Ask him. You know what I do a lot of times when I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do, and I just say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? You know, it may not answer me right then and there, but somewhere along the way it'll come through. The answer will come through. Ask him his opinion. He's God. He made the stars and the galaxies. Go ahead and ask him, what you think about this? Speak his word. When you speak his word, mountains move. Not your words. Your words are not that powerful. But when you speak his word, mountains will move. Come into agreement with his word. It pleases him. You know, when you just say something like, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I see the scripture right here that says that you'll supply all my need. I agree with that. I agree with what you said right there. I agree with that for my life. Do you think that might just please God? Yes. And I believe he'll move mountains to get it to you. Another way to be a conqueror is to pursue peace. Philippians 4:7 says, And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Some people pursue drama. You ever met those people? They pursue drama. They're drama kings and they're drama queens. And if there's too much drama, if there's a lot of drama going on in your home, and if you're the one causing it, stop it. You just need to stop it. Because after a while, people aren't going to want to hang around with you. They're going to see drama queen coming along and avoid you. They're going to see drama king coming along and say, I've actually hidden from people in grocery stores. I have. Because they got so much drama going on in their life, and I'm just trying to scoot through the store, and now, it's not been here. Now, I don't do that to you. You all are not like this, trust me. But we have pastored churches before where I see somebody in the store, I'm like, they're on aisle over here with the watermelons. I'm going over here. Because there's so much drama in their life, and I know they're going to suck me into it, and I just don't have enough time right then. And if that's terrible, oh, well, I guess I am terrible. But, you know, I don't do it to this church because you're not like that. But have you ever met these people? They're like tornadoes. You could be in a room and everything's still and quiet. Everybody's working along together. And one person will walk in and it's like, shoo, 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 shoo. And all of a sudden, everything's like crazy. Do you know these people? And if you are one, don't tell me, but stop it. All right. All right. Another way to be more than a conqueror is to praise God more. Psalm 71:14 says, "But I will hope continually, and will get and I will yet praise thee more and more." I heard about this minister that this was like 100 years ago, and he was before they could, you know, they were driving and doing all this stuff. I believe he was in Colorado, and he needed to get to this meeting. And he had to walk like 30 miles on foot, okay? And so by the end of the journey, it was nighttime. He was in the woods, and he heard a wolf. And the next thing he knew, he was surrounded by a pack of wolves by himself. And they were snarling, and they were biting. They were growling at him. He said he could actually feel their breath. That's how close they were getting to him. And all of a sudden, he just lifted up his voice and just started singing praises to God. He just started singing a praise song to God. And when he did that, he said that the wolves drew back as if pulled by some mysterious force. I'm telling you, there's power in your praise. There's also a woman I heard about that back years ago, they had what's called smallpox, and it would wipe out whole towns. And pretty much, if you got smallpox back then, you'd pretty much die, or it was a very terrible death. And so they had told her, well, you know, pretty much sorry, but, you know, go here in this room, and so you don't give it to anybody else. And so she had remembered about how powerful praise was. And God had given her a vision. And if I could find that, I brought a book to read it to you from. And I hope I, anyway, she said that she had a vision. And in the vision, there was an angel that had two baskets. And in the one basket was all her needs, you know. And that basket was pretty full. But the other basket, which had like feathers in it, represented praise. And there was only like one or two. And so God let her know, when this basket gets more full than the asking basket, then you're going to have your need. You're going to be healed. So she laid there and she praised God. You could hear her all over the place. She sang. She praised. She praised all night long. She praised. She sang. She sang. She praised. She praised and she sang. And for, I mean, hours, all night and all the next day, praising and singing and worshiping and praising God. And she had another vision. And this time, the basket that was for the praise was full to overflowing, and she was healed. She was totally healed and walked out of there. That tells me that there is power in praise, and we can be more than a conqueror when we start praising the Lord. In the good times and in the bad times, praise him. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's nothing wrong with you know, I've done it over the phone, and I'm guessing some of you have too. When you get really good news, you're just like, praise the Lord. You don't even think about it. It comes up out of you. Well, praise the Lord. You say it in front of people. Praise him. Praise him when you're going down the road. Praise him when you get up in the morning. Praise him. Praise him that you have a good warm bed. Praise him that you have an air-conditioned house. Praise him that you have a car that you can go back and forth. Praise him that you're an American. Praise him. Praise him for who he is. Praise him that he's God Almighty and he's God all by himself. Praise him. In all things, give him thanks. So let me sum this up this morning. If you desire to be more than a conqueror, then conquer with more prayer. Instead of worrying, pray. Cast your cares. Because God, he's got all your answers, so why not cast your care? Conquer with the promises of God. Come into agreement with God's word. Say, I agree with this. I agree. You say right here that you'll save my family. I agree with that, God. I come into agreement with that. And then don't speak other than that. Don't go out and say, well, I don't know about the, you know, this and that. No, you stay in agreement with God's word. Another way to conquer, and we talked about, is conquer with the peace of God. Pursue peace. Pursue peace. Go after peace. And how do you do that? By looking up scriptures, by talking to God, by being more peaceful with people around you. I'm still working on that. I'll be honest with you. There's still people. Especially on traffic. But you know what? I'm getting better. God is helping me. And I pray for grace. And you could be more than a conqueror by praising more. Praising and worshiping God. Praise him at the midnight hour. So everyone stand. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. No moving around right now. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that you're not a Christian, but I don't want to ever miss an opportunity that maybe you need to know this one named Jesus, who is our conqueror. He is our conquering hero. If you don't know him and you would like to, just raise your hand, and I'll be glad to pray for you. anyone here at all? Is there anyone here this morning, you need prayer for anything, whatever? You need prayer for healing. You need prayer for finances. This altar is open. If you need prayer, I want you to come on up, because we're not in a hurry. And this is God's house. This is his time. And if you have a need this morning, anything at all, maybe it's a relationship thing. Maybe it's you've got something with your health. Maybe it's with your kids. Please feel free to come on up. Because you know what? God is able to meet all your needs.